Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Let's pray. Father, help us now. Give us liberty to preach, power to preach. Lord, it's a sobering thought this morning. Not a fun message, but a message that deals with a certainty and a reality. And I pray you might bring it home to us, make it real to us, that we might make preparation while there yet remains time. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Several months ago, watching Fox News, and they had a program on I didn't care for, so I'm clicking through the thingy there. I borrowed the clicker from my wife, and I clicked down through there, and they had this program on called A Thousand Ways to Die. I thought, man. So I tuned in there for a minute. I've never watched it since. I only saw one part of one episode, and that was enough for me. Because when I clicked in, they had this lady that was overweight a little bit, not bad, but she was very concerned about her appearance. And so she had sent off to some company that sells tapeworms. And you buy this little tiny tapeworm, and then it helps you eat what you eat and keeps you skinny. Now, the problem was, in about 7 or 8 months, the tapeworm grew and grew and grew. Charlie didn't stay little. And the tapeworm was 30 feet long, and she wasn't eating enough to keep Charlie happy. So Charlie just ate through her liver and her spleen and into her kidneys and through her back, and it killed her. That's one of a thousand ways to die. I thought, that's the only one I want to see. I didn't want to see any more of that. Why in heaven's name would anybody in their right mind sit around and watch that kind of stuff? And what kind of sicko thought it up in the first place? I mean, buddy, there's some degeneracy out there somewhere. But I didn't want to steal the thought from the title, A Thousand Ways to Die, because I got to think about it. There are a lot of ways to die. And so this morning I want to talk to you about death and dying. Our text says, it's appointed a man once to die. People say, oh, I hate those morbid things when you preach on death and mine are never morbid. See, we're saved by God's grace and we celebrate death. Amen. Now that doesn't mean that we want to hasten it. You know, I'm not trying to get there prematurely. Yet at the same time, death for a saved person and death for an unsaved person is not exactly the same thing. Amen. At least not in the way we apprehend it, the way we think about it. Kind of reminds me of these fellas. They played ball together. And one of them was an outfielder and one of them was a pitcher. And they both Christian. They played for the church league, you know. And so they talked about it, you know. Said, whichever one of us goes first, if there's any way, let the other one know if they have baseball in heaven. Well, the outfielder died first, and he got up to glory, you know. And months rolled by, and one day the other fellow was practicing with the team, and this apparition showed up, and it's his friend. And he said, hey, Joe, how you doing? He said, oh, man, you came back to let me know. He said, yeah. He said, I got some good news and some bad news. He said, yeah. I said, well, what's the good news? He said, the good news, they got baseball in heaven. He said, oh, wonderful. He said, what's the bad news? He said, you're pitching this afternoon. Somebody said one time, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. So I want to talk to you about dying. And the reason for that is because it is a guarantee you have. It's appointed unto man once to die. You're going to croak. You're going to assume room temperature. They're going to take you out back, put you to bed with a shovel. People, I just don't like that. You ought to think about it. You ought to be prepared for every major event that's going to take place in your life, right? We have our children, and we want to prepare them for life, so we make sure they get a good education. And we try and teach them some things and train them and show them some stuff. We want them to be a success in life, so we prepare them educationally and emotionally to go off to college so that they'll be prepared for the next major event in their life. Amen? I mean, anybody that's got any sense wants to be prepared. If you know something's coming your way, and there's more than one way to handle it, and you can succeed or fail at it, the least you want to do is prepare as best you can. Well, death's a-coming. The Grim Reaper is on his big black horse, and sooner or later, someday, somewhere, he's going to ride up you and snatch the breath right out of your body, and you'll be dead. Now, I know you can be morbid and think about it all the time, be obsessed with it and all that kind of stuff, and we don't want to do that, but at the same time, I don't want it to get here and take me unawares. I want to be prepared. So I want to talk to you about it for just a few minutes this morning. Some people say there's not anything you can do about it. You know, I've heard people argue that you're born and you have a set number of days, and until your time is up, you're invincible, you're immortal. I wouldn't put that to the test if I were you. Amen. You might find out, and maybe you were meant to jump out in front of that semi-truck. I don't know. But I don't think I'd give it a shot. Now, the Bible said in Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of our strength they be 80. Well, see, that indicates that your days aren't fixed. That the length of your days is determined in large measure by the strength of your constitution. Some people are going to live to be 70. Some are going to live to be 80. We don't all drop dead at 70. See? That's just a general thing. But people get all tangled up and they want to make rigid predictions and this, that, and the other. Generally speaking, people make it to 70 or a little better. And nowadays, you know, with medicine and all those good, healthy fast foods we eat, we can make it to 80 and 85. I don't think fast food's killing anybody. Amen. I think your heart quit working is what kills you. Amen. I like jumping off the top of a building never killed anybody. It's the stop. You know, you just got to look at it the right way. Now, our text said this point on a man wants to die. Look here. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 8, verse 11, verse 14, verse 17, verse 20, verse 27, verse 31, Genesis chapter 9, verse 29, and on and on. You know what it says? Every one of those verses? And he died. And he died. And he died. And he died. None of them guys got out of this world alive. And you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. He said, well, I'm going to live. And I'm going to grow up, and I'm going to get married and have kids and make a lot of money, and I'm going to have a good life, and I'm going here, and I'm going there, and I'm going to do this. Yeah, but sooner or later, you're going to die. Sooner or later. And it may be sooner than later. I wish there was some guarantee where you could say, I'm going to live to be 80 or 90, and then I'm going to die. You might die saying that. Amen. And my wife and I prayed, we started a couple of years ago, we prayed, Lord, let us live to be 82 years old. And I can't. I think reason we picked 82 because at that time it was 20 years. I'm seriously thinking about renegotiating. Now, here's the thing. So the rule is that we live 70, 80 years and we die. That's the rule. But there are exceptions to every rule. Now, in our day and age, we're so stupid that we think that the exception to the rule overthrows the rule. See? That's like in certain groups or organizations, you find people who excel or who are better. So you find one or two of those and you say, see, they overthrow the rule. No, they reinforce the rule. If they overthrew the rule, then the majority would be doing what they're doing. The truth is, 90.99% don't, see? So the exception to the rule never overthrows the rule, it reinforces the rule. Well, in the Bible, there are a couple of notable exceptions to it's appointed a man wants to die. Amen? Let me see, I can think of a couple. Enoch. And Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, for God took him. Amen? And then, Enoch shows up over there on Mount Transfiguration. Maybe. I'm messing with you. But Enoch doesn't die. The Lord takes him. Now, Moses died. They say, well, God took Moses. Yes, but the Bible indicates clearly that Moses had to die. Because Michael the archangel disputed with the devil about the body of Moses. God buried Moses someplace over there on the backside of Mount Sinai somewhere. See? But now Elijah didn't die. He went up in a horse and chariot of fire with a whirlwind. Pretty much the same way you're going. So there's a couple. Now, there's two exceptions to it's appointed unto man once to die. Now, I thought about that. There's about 6 billion people on the planet today. That's a 6 with 9 zeros. A million millions, 1,000 millions makes a billion. That's a lot of folks. So, in the history of the world, the best we can figure out, all the brain people, there's been about 10 or maybe 11 billion people, including what's here now, in the history of the whole wide world. And out of that 10 or 11 billion, to the best of our knowledge, 2 made it out alive. Now, if you're an odds maker, don't bet on this one. This is not one to take on. Let some other fool bet on it. Because your odds of making out of here alive are slim to none. Amen? Your odds on being the exception are so minuscule as to not be worth taking into account. Mark it down. If the Lord doesn't come, you're going to die. Just that simple. Let me show you. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8, that no man has power over the spirit to retain the spirit in the day of death. And that there is no discharge in that war. Death starts to stalk your heels the moment you are born. And sooner or later, death comes a knocking. And you will die. There's no discharge in that war. Everybody has to fight it to the end. And there is no power, you have no power to retain the spirit in the day of death. You're going to die. Now, excluding all the theories you hear about things, I wanted to read you some articles I have collected over a period of time that I personally find kind of illuminating on this particular subject. These are just meant to illustrate a point. The articles I'm going to use here, most of them are local. I tried to, there's a couple that aren't, but most of the ones that I'm going to mention to you occurred in right here in North Carolina, South Carolina. And most of them occurred in your lifetime. And they all involve people from 3 years old up to 45 or 50 years old. It covers the whole spectrum of age. It's current history, and it's right here where you live. And I did that on purpose with malice aforethought. Did y'all see my letter in the paper? Do you see them knuckleheads change what I wrote? I put with malice aforethought, and they put with malice afterthought. What kind of term is that? I thought, you know, that Yankee just did that on purpose. Anyway, I want to share some of these with you because I want to bring home the reality that death is not something in a foreign, distant land. It's not necessarily something way in the future, and it's not for somebody else, and that it's not just for some other age group. It fits you. Okay? So let me share a couple of these with you. Because, you know, they say when your time's up, you're going. You ever heard people say that? Now, I don't know if that's theologically sound or not, but boy, I tell you what, in a practical way, it sure makes a lot of sense, it seems like to me. Amen? Here's a little article about a church van that catches on fire and kills five people. A church van was punctured. A church van punctured its gas tank on a piece of road debris and burst into flames Tuesday, killing five of the minister's children and critically injuring a sixth. That's a church van, and it's taking the preacher and his family home, and they hit something in the road. It punctured the gas tank, caught the thing on fire, and burned them all to death. It wasn't somebody else. It was him. It was his family. These are people that are serving God, living right, going to church. And how many times do you hit something in the road and puncture a gas tank and set the truck on fire? Is that not obscure? Yet, I guess their time was up. Amen? How about this one? Here's a guy that got killed cutting the grass. This is down here in Chesney, South Carolina, right outside of Spartanburg. A Chesney man had been charged with felony drunken driving after a man was killed while mowing his grass. This guy got drunk. He's coming down the road. This other fella is minding his own business. He is in his front yard cutting his grass. This intoxicated moron runs off the road, slams into this guy, and kills him in his front yard. You think in your front yard you're safe, don't you? Isn't that your castle, your fortress? Isn't that where you take refuge? You know, if I'm at home, if I'm on my own property, I'm safe. He wasn't. He dropped dead because some fool that was drunk ran over him. This is bizarre here. This happened over here on Catawba River. This is a York man. Lake Wylie. A York man was killed Friday on Lake Wylie after attempting to pull an abandoned floating dock off a sandbar. What happened? Bill Angley, 52, of Johnson Barn Road, died about 5 p.m. after hooking a rope to pull the old abandoned dock off the Big Allison Creek area of Lake Wylie. The metal eye that he put his rope through to pull it came out of the wood. The tension was so strong, he pulled it out of the wood, and that thing came and hit him in the head and killed him. That's what we call a freak accident. But you still got to call it 100% dead. I guess his time was up. Amen? Oh, man, this is a sad one here. A two-year-old girl on a sightseeing stroll with her parents on the Golden Gate Bridge, slipped through a gap between the sidewalk and the road and plunged 170 feet to her death. They got them bars this close together, so you can't do that. This little girl is walking with mom and daddy sightseeing. They're on vacation. Little girl pulls her hand out of mama's hand and steps over to look through and fell between them and fell 170 feet to her death.
She's 2 years old.
You reckon her time was up? How old are you? Your time could be up. Amen? Freak accident. Freak. See, when it's time to go, you're going. One way or another, you're going. This has happened down in Alabama. His wife riding beside him with their two children in safety seats in the back. John Fisher drove home toward South Carolina along a stretch of Interstate 20 covered with ruts, bumps, and crumbling concrete. Just ahead of the family, Crystal Marie Dick was heading to the other side of the Georgia line to give a friend a ride. The pothole in front of her 1995 Toyota Camry had been fixed at least once already, and now the repair was breaking down too. A pocket of jagged, brittle bits of concrete covered nearly half of the right lane, the slow lane. Her Camry hit the hole, kicking up a chunk in the air as the Fisher's green Ford pickup hurtled toward them at 70 miles an hour. The glass directly in front of Fisher's wife exploded. No one knows how big the fragment was, but it blew a hole in the size of the windshield, the size of a football. It struck Maureen Fisher in the face and killed her instantly. Hit the back glass and crumbled, and they could not even find the debris. And she is stone cold dead. You reckon her time was up? This slays me here. This happened up in Charlotte, North Carolina, a couple years ago. Fumes from an unattended idling car apparently killed four people Thursday at an upscale townhouse complex in downtown Charlotte, police said. Three other people became ill, and the fumes were taken to the hospital to be expected to recover. The victims, two men and two women, were found in two units at Cedar Mill Apartments. Police did not release the victim's name, blah, blah, blah. What happened? Somebody had cranked their car in the garage of this apartment complex, went back to eat breakfast while their car warmed up. And the fumes from the car rose up and got in the ceiling of the apartment, and the people on the second floor suffocated to death from carbon monoxide. Killed four of them from one car sitting in a garage idling. Is that not strange? It's pitiful when you're not safe at home. Here's one, a runaway tractor trailer kills a woman. Now, it's runaway, but there's no tractor on it. It's just a trailer. And it's not on the road. It's parked on the side of the road. The road is here, and there's a little hill with an embankment, and a guy parked the trailer here running this way. This car is coming down the road, and for some reason, the tractor, which he did not set the brake on, started rolling down the hill and rolled right out in front of that lady, and she hit that tractor trailer and killed her instantly. Nobody in the trailer, no truck tied to it. It's been sitting there for who knows how long, and all of a sudden it decides on its own to move and roll right down in a busy highway, and that lady hit that thing at 50 miles an hour, cuts her head off. You reckon her time was up? Now, these are real people. Most of these are our neighbors. You know, they live in Gastonia and Charlotte and Chesney. I mean, they live right around here. These are real folks. In real time. And none of them was expecting to die. You think any of those people had any inclination that today would be their last day on earth and that they were going to wake up somewhere else? They didn't. They thought they were going to get up, and the preacher thought he preached his message and he was going home and have fried chicken with his family, and the next thing you know, he's dead. This one's kind of funny. It's kind of stupid. This guy stabbed himself to death. It's a freak accident. He's cooking. He's standing over the stove, and he burned his hand. And he's got a kitchen knife in his hand. And he did like that, and the knife went right between his ribs and stuck in his heart. He killed himself cooking breakfast. It's not funny, but I mean, you know, when the time's up, son, people think, well, I'm going to play it safe, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. You might as well go on and live your life and enjoy it, because if God ever wants you to come home, you're gone. Amen? People sitting around, well, I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and they try to be so careful. And I think you ought to use reasonable caution. I'm not saying be stupid. But, don't live in a corner just because you're afraid something's going to happen. It wouldn't make any difference. It's going to happen anyway. God can figure out a way. Some of them may be a little bizarre, but God don't mind using his imagination. But this is really bad here. This is a 3-year-old boy. This is out in San Diego, California. A 3-year-old boy was killed in a freak accident when steel cables from a tire blowout sliced through the floor of a minivan and wrapped around the legs of the child and snatched him through the floor of the car as it went down the highway. Guy had steel-belted tires on his car. The tire blew out, and the lady kept driving it, and those steel belts going round and round cut a hole in the floorboard and wrapped around the legs of that little toddler and snatched him down through the floor of the car and killed him. Is that not bizarre? And it may be bizarre, but I'm here to tell you, that boy is still dead. It is appointed unto man once to die, and you don't know what it's going to be when you're 2 years old, 3 years old, 50 years old, or 75 or 100 years old. But I'm here to tell you, it's appointed unto man once to die, and you are not an exception. You have no exclusion clause. Somewhere, sometime, somewhere or another, death's going to reach out and take you by the hand and lead you home to the grave. Preacher, that's enough. No, I got a couple more. I want to push the point home. Well, I'm Jack Hyde, I'm going to wear it out. Here's a 3-year-old boy who got killed on a school bus. This happened in York a couple years ago. A 3-year-old boy was killed Tuesday morning when the York school bus his mother was driving ran off the road and slammed into the tip of a fallen pine tree. The bus is going down the road. Mama did something, and the bus ran off the edge of the road, off of the road, onto the edge of the road. There's a fallen pine tree, and you know how the school bus doors open? That thing went right through that glass in that door, and that boy was sitting on the front seat, and the top of that tree just impaled him. The mama had to sit there and watch her son sitting there with a pine tree stuck through his chest. That happened right here in York. That's a real boy. That's a real family. And he's really dead. And you think, oh, only old people die. Isn't that 1 2-year-old and 2 3-year-olds I just read you about? Right here in your home country? There's no age limit on death. You put yourself in harm's way, you can end up dead. And if you're fortunate and the Lord blesses and you live to be 85, you're still going to die. I'm here to tell you, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, and you have no power to retain the spirit in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Sarasota, Florida. An 87-year-old woman in a nursing home. Can you get any safer than that? She's too old to get in any trouble. She's in a nursing home, and they make them things safe because they know them old people are hurting themselves. She's an Alzheimer's patient. She died after she was bitten 1,625 times by ants. As she lay in her bed, the ants were on the march for whatever reason, and they decided to march right through her bed, and they bit her almost 1,700 times, and she died from the poison from the ant bites in a nursing home at 87 years old. Is that not bizarre? Is that a freaky thing? But it happened, and it killed her. He said, well, I just want to live till I get old and lay down and go home to glory right from my bed. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful? That's the way I want to do it. I want to lay down Sunday evening after preaching two rip-snorting, tear-them-apart kind of messages. And everybody from the church is at home licking their wounds. And I'm going to lay down in my bed exhausted. And the life force is just going to ebb away. And they'll wake me up in the morning and say, and the preacher went peacefully in his sleep. That's the way I'd like to do it, but I got no guarantee of that. That's the way everybody wants to go. Nobody wants to get cancer and linger for 5 years. Nobody wants some debilitating disease that incapacitates them and causes great pain and suffering. We all want to, but it don't always work that way. A lot of folks are going to get killed in car wrecks and fall off of houses and drown at the river and all kind of freak accidents. Bottom line is, though, they're all still dead. This lady right here, 55 years old. She's on vacation. She's from Michigan. She's down in Florida. Goes swimming in the ocean. Got popped by a stingray, stuck her right in the heart, killed her. One little pop, like that. 2 minutes later, heart stopped, she's dead. She wasn't, they weren't out drinking, they weren't out partying, they weren't out reveling, they weren't out raising hell. They just on vacation. All these are people just going about their daily lives. They're not out trying to get in trouble and doing things they shouldn't do, but death shows up anyway. This one right here, boy. This is a guy that got killed walking on the beach. Got killed by an airplane. The guy's walking down the beach. The motor on the airplane quits. The guy has to dead stick land it on the beach. This guy was walking right in front of him, and the pilot can't turn and slammed right into him and killed the guy. And the guy in the airplane gets up and walks away. Killed him. He's dead. They buried him. This little girl here stayed home from school. She's about 9 years old. 9 years old. She had the sniffles, and she stayed home from school. And while she's sitting in her bed watching cartoons, which is what a lot of kids who are supposed to be sick do rather than go to school, car runs off the road, slams into her house, runs up on top of her bed, and suffocates her to death. Where's the other one? I got one I was going to save for last. I don't know what to do with it. What's the name of this one? Huh? Be my luck I didn't bring the one I wanted. I went through these things way too many times. Y'all just bear with me because this is worth reading if I can find it. Oh, there it is, right there. This has got to be the freakiest thing I ever read in my life, and I've read a lot of freaky stuff. Northampton, Massachusetts. Skydiver Alfred Peters was hurtling toward Earth at about 100 miles an hour when he saw a plane coming straight at him. Seconds later, his ankle hit the plane's tail, sending the plane into a spin and crash. All four people aboard were killed. Peter survived Sunday's collision, more than a mile above the ground, with a broken ankle and a terrible scare. All he keeps talking about is seeing that plane coming at him, said Peter's wife, Joyce. He tried to get out of the way as best he could, but there wasn't much he could do. And it hit his ankle. Killed were, and it lists all the people that were killed. Peter's 51 of Westfield lost a boot and flipped head over heels, but managed to open his parachute at about 4,000 feet. Is that not bizarre? The guy jumps out of an airplane skydiving. Here comes an interceptor, and the guy is hit in the ankle, and the pilot loses control of the airplane and killed four people. And the guy that was skydiving gets his ankle bandaged and goes on with his life. No man hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. You do not know when you're going to die. You do not know that you're going to live to be 80 years old. You do not know where you'll be, and you do not know the method of how you're going to pass out of this old world. I'm here to tell you, you better be ready to die today. Today. I hope you've got a lot of time. And I hope the Lord is gracious and you go to sleep and just wake up in glory. But you don't know that. Now, we've established the point that we die. Here's a question. Why do we grow old and die? You know, anybody wants to grow old? Everybody I know is trying to stay young. I see silly little women. They're a lot worse at it than stupid little men. But men are not exempt from it by any stretch of the imagination. But you see silly little women running all over the place trying to recapture their youth. I just don't want to get old. Tough, sweetie. If you don't die, you're going to get old. And if you get old, then you'll die. That's just the way it goes. There's no way out of it, is there? I mean, that's just the way it is. Like, you can go out and get all them little facelifts and tummy tucks and butt lifts and all that stuff, you know. I see these things on TV, you know, where you can go into some doctor's office for an hour and they do this lifestyle lift or whatever it's called. And this one ugly little old woman, she's got a nasty looking little mouth on her. She comes out there, you know, she used to be all saggy and baggy, and they got her all fixed up. Now she only looks 70 instead of 71. And she's saying, I'm 70 years old. Can you believe it? Yeah, lady, you look at least 70. What? Who are they trying to fool? I want to say, hey, lady, hold your hands up to the sunlight. Amen? Say, why? Because you can see through them. That's why. You can't keep that skin from looking 70 years old. Well, I just don't want to get old. Get real, will you? How about what we ought to do? We ought to learn to get old with grace. We ought to learn to get old with some class. Amen? Why do we grow old? Well, the Bible said in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. And Romans 3:10 said, for all have sinned and come short of glory of God, there's none righteous. None. Let me tell you why you're going to get old and die. Because you are a sinner. Just that simple. All the scientists, all that technology we got out there busting their backside trying to figure out how to fix them genes and chromosomes and the RNA and the DNA and the polypeptide chains and all that stuff, you know. You ain't going to fix it. You may be able to prolong it for a little while, but the inevitable is going to take place anyway, and you are going to die. What you ought to do instead of trying to run from death is prepare for death. Romans 5:12 said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men. You know why you get old and die? Because your great-great-grandpappy broke God's commandment and sinned. And death passed upon all men. All men. Therefore, all men die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. People say, well, I just don't know why we have to get old. Why do we have to die? because of sin, S-I-N. We broke God's law, and there was a penalty for it. And the whole wide world, every man, woman, boy, that girl that ever lived, and all the folks you know and all the folks you ever will know are going to die, and they're all going to die for exactly the same reason, sin. Now, thanks be unto God, God has pulled the stinger out of death. 1 Corinthians 15:55 said, "O death, where is thy sting?" Don't you love that? That's a great passage of Scripture. Ever saved man, woman, boy, and girl ought to be in love with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Well, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. How did God pull the stinger out of death? He let Jesus Christ, the second Adam, die to undo what the first Adam did. Where sin passed upon the whole world, now the whole world can be made free. And God can give us eternal life. Then, I love the Bible. You know, it said according to the Scripture. I love that, don't you? If you want to know something about anything real, if you want to know something about anything about important, what you need to do is go to the Scripture. Amen. This old book's got all the answers you'll ever need. Here's what I read in my Bible. I read about the demise of death. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, "And there shall be..." Everybody know how this verse ends? "And there shall be no more death." I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. Somebody say amen. One of these days, death meets its untimely demise. You know, I used to read the obituaries, but every now and then, I didn't read them regular. Every now and then, I'd see one. But I don't need to anymore because my wife memorizes them every morning. And and you, every now and then, you'd see, "And so-and-so met his untimely demise." Well, bless God, one of these days death's going to meet its untimely demise. Jesus Christ is going to put an end to it, and there will be no more death. And nobody there has to stand and preach to a bunch of sinners that they're going to die one of these days, and they're going to have to face God. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Okay. I said all that to get to this. How you can overcome death. See, if there isn't a victory here someplace, if there's not a way to overcome, if there's not a bright spot, if there's not a hole in the cloud, if the sun never comes shining through, then it's just a morbid message. But thanks be unto God, that's not the end. The Bible said in John chapter 1 and verse 12, "But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on Him." You know what else He said? He said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Who are the they? They that received Him. You want to pull the stinger on death? You want to be more than conquerors? You want to be victorious? Then receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He'll pull the stinger out of death for you. You may pass out of this old world physically, but you'll never face that second death. When the resurrection takes place and we come forth from the grave, you come forth to righteousness. You come forth to eternal life. You come forth to live with God forever. And if you don't receive Christ, then death wins. And you perish to exist eternally in a lake of fire and brimstone. You dwell with the damned in pain and in suffering, always dying but never dead in hell if you reject Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know of any better news than that for people that's in our predicament. You say, "Well, it's not fair. I didn't do anything. I didn't sin. Adam did." Listen, you can sit around and argue all that stuff you want to till the cows come home. Here's the mess you're in, whether it's your fault or not. And by the way, you would have done just exactly what Adam did. And the proof is that all men have sinned. Amen. You showed that you'd make the same choice to disobey God just like Adam did. So, you know, get off of him. The point is, you are in this predicament. You are dead in trespasses and sins. You will die and you will go to hell. And arguing about the who's, the why's, and the how doesn't change anything. You better learn to deal with the predicament that you're in. And the only solution known to man for the predicament that we are in is Jesus Christ. He bore our sins in His own body. The wages of sin is death. When He took my sin, I have no reason to have to stay in the grave forever. Now, if you receive Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. And while death may capture your physical body, it cannot capture your soul, and the grave can't keep your body forever. I have eternal life in Christ Jesus. He and He alone is the solution to the predicament that we find ourselves in. So the question this morning is this: what have you done with Jesus Christ? The question is not how successful have you been in life. The question is not are you a celebrity? Or are you popular? Or are you well educated? Are you well thought of? Do you have a big bankrupt? That's not the question. The question is, what have you done with Jesus Christ? And the reason that's important is because you're a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. And the only escape from that grave and from death is in Him. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What have you done with the Lord? What have you done with Jesus Christ? If you've received Him and made Him your Savior, you're safe from eternal death. But if you haven't, you're going to die and go to judgment. And then you're going to face the second death. Ladies and gentlemen, the only place you can fix that is right here, right now. While you're alive. While you're breathing. There's no fixing it. There's no reprieve. There's no second chance after you leave. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Thank You for loving us and sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. Lord, we thank You that according to the Scripture, we know our condition. We're lost without God and without hope. We're sinners. Lord, we thank You for the book because according to the Scripture, You've sent the Lord Jesus Christ. You've provided a sacrifice and a remedy for our predicament. Lord, You sent that Holy Spirit to tap us on the shoulder and to woo us and to draw us and to call us. We thank You for Your love and Your mercy toward us. And I ask now this morning, oh God, if there be anybody in this place, anybody, that's not saved by God's amazing grace, that's never personally received Jesus Christ, may they today receive Him who is our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.